I want to read for you an excerpt from Max Lucado's book, In the Eye of the Storm. It's about a bird. It's actually about a parakeet by the name of Chirpy. Chirpy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage, and the next he was sucked in, washed up, blown over. And the problem began when Chirpy's owner decided to clean Chirpy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang, and she turned to pick it up, and she barely said hello when Chirpy got sucked in. The bird owner gasped, put the phone down, and turned off the vacuum and opened the bag, and there was Chirpy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chirpy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chirpy was soaked and shivering, she did what any good, compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chirpy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who had initially written about the event contacted Chirpy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. "Well," she replied, "Chirpy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." Max Lucado, he writes, "It's hard not to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. And that's enough to steal the song from the toughest of birds." And I guess this morning I want to suggest that all of us, we've at some point in life, we've felt like that bird. We've been knocked down. We've been beaten up. We've been left to feel like the world is just caving in on us. And this morning we're looking at Luke chapter 8. We're looking at this account of Jesus doing this amazing work on the sea. And we get to see that in the midst of the storms of life, there is God. So this morning, if you've got your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 8. We'll read verses 22 to 25. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and they set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." The thing that caught my attention about that passage was how easy it was for the disciples to get into the boat when the water was calm. They didn't have to think about it. It was easy. It was a no-brainer. They just get into the boat, and they follow Jesus, and they obey, and they do what he calls them to do. And these guys that get into this boat, one thing that they knew was that at any given time that the weather on this lake, it could just kick up and that a terrible storm could come in and could completely change their circumstances. But they still get in the boat and they follow after Jesus. Now these fishermen, normally, this is what they would have done. They would have stayed as close to the shore as possible. They would have tried to not get far into the water. But because Jesus calls them to get into the boat and he takes them where he wants to take them, he takes them much farther than they would ever have gone on their own. They would have liked to have gone to a place where they would have known that if a storm came in, that they could turn around really quickly and they could make it back to shore. But now where Jesus has taken them, they're completely unprepared for what lies ahead. This is a lot more than what they're comfortable handling on their own. And here's the interesting picture of how we find Jesus in the midst of the story. Jesus, he's sleeping. These men, they find Jesus sleeping. And the only place that Jesus could have slept on this boat would have been typically that the boat would have had this near the stern would have had this covering, this wooden covering. So Jesus, he's kind of probably underneath this wooden covering. The rain's coming down, the storm's coming, the boat's getting tossed all around. And there is Jesus perfectly asleep. Now back in this day, these men also knew some of the more like urban legends that many people trusted in. Many people trusted in hearing stories of way in the past of men, almost like superhero sort of characters or godlike characters who had a reputation for calming the storms, for having power over creation. But never had anyone ever seen anyone in the flesh, in person, have power over creation like Jesus just does here. And that is a very important thing for us to understand that these men, right in their presence, they're seeing Jesus do the amazing. This morning, we're going to look at verses 22 to 25. And my hope is that we see that Jesus can do by far more than any could ever do. Go back to verse 22. Verse 22, Jesus tells the disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. I mentioned before that these disciples, they would have been very comfortable had they just stayed where they were used to being, if they had just stayed close to the shore. But that's not where Jesus takes them. Jesus takes them to the other side of the lake, knowing that this is going to stretch their comfort level, knowing that this is not where they would have gone on their own. And the idea that Jesus has is that these men would go and that they would be taken to some place that they would never have gone on their own so that they could be stretched in the things of God. And then as Jesus takes them to the other side of the lake, he stretches their comfort levels. He's getting them outside of what's comfortable. And he's doing that because he wants them to know more and more who he is. And he wants them to be more and more to like the person that he wants them to become. Let's think about being stretched in our comfort level. Let's think about what we're willing to do, what we like doing, what's easy to do, what's comfortable to do in our own discipleship. Maybe for some, maybe giving. Maybe that's something that's easy to do. Maybe for some, you know, being a Sunday school teacher, teaching. Maybe that's something that's easy to do. Maybe for others, being a person who trusts in God's plans. Maybe that's something that's easy to do. For all of us, there are some things that are easy for us to do. There's some ways that are easy for us to follow after God. And there's others that are incredibly difficult for us to do. We just have a hard time of letting go of our own ways. So flip that question around that I asked about what's easy to do. What's difficult to do when it comes to following after Jesus? Some of those same things that are easy maybe for you could be incredibly difficult things for someone else to go after. Maybe giving. Maybe that's a tough thing for someone to do. Maybe serving. Maybe that's a tough thing for someone to do. Maybe sharing with someone else who Jesus is, challenging them to know who Jesus is, asking them, do you want to believe in Jesus Christ? Maybe that's a tough thing for you to do as well. Here's the big picture idea that I have as I was challenged by this passage. It's to know that wherever each of us are in our faith in Jesus Christ, that that's not where God wants to leave us. He wants to take us as well. He wants to stretch us. He wants to get us out of what's comfortable. He wants us to be more and more like the person he wants us to be in the future. And for these disciples, that meant that Jesus had to take them to the other side of the lake. And that's really what he wants to do with us. He wants to take all of us who believe in him, he wants to take us to the other side of the lake, and he wants to stretch us, and he wants to get us to become more and more serious about his plans, more and more willing to do the things that he has got set aside for each of us. So for anyone here that maybe has a hard time, you're not sure if you're the right person to do scripture and prayer, that might be something that God is saying, you know what, maybe right now that's not where you're at. Maybe in the future, maybe that's what God wants to do with you. Maybe you've been asked multiple times to be a Sunday school teacher, and maybe you've always thought, no, that's not me. So maybe the stretching thing that God wants to do with you is to do that very thing. So maybe be encouraged to be open that the next time that you're asked that maybe that's what you should be doing. Maybe there's that person in your life that you keep having an ongoing conversation with about Jesus Christ. Maybe the challenging thing that you need to hear is that maybe God has put that person in your life so that you can share with them who Jesus is. So the big picture idea that I have as I look at this passage is that wherever we are now is not where God wants to leave us 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now. He has a completely different picture of who he wants us to be in the future. And we should be encouraged to be open, to know that God wants to do a work of change in each of us. Go back to these disciples when they're getting into the boat. These disciples quickly, they listen to Jesus, they answer, they get into the boat as he calls them into the boat. And never do they ask any questions like, Jesus, where are you going to take us? Jesus, what happens if the storm, what happens if it kicks up? Jesus, this guy over here, he doesn't swim too well, so please take extra special care of him. These disciples, they don't express any reservations as Jesus calls them to get into the boat. Simply, they do that very thing. They get into the boat. And that's one of the things that's impressive about these disciples in this passage. They're obedient, at least at first. They trust in Jesus and they get into the boat. Now, later in the story where they show themselves to be scared, to be afraid, that's the more coward-like quality that we get to see of them. But at first, we see that they're obedient. And that's something that we need to learn for us as well. That obedience is tied to faith. That when we when we answer the questions that God is putting in front of us, when we trust in His leading, we are exhibiting obedience. And that's what God wants to do in each of our lives. He wants to get us more and more trusting in His Spirit, more and more trusting in His leading, more and more trusting in the fact that He is stretching us in a way that we're not comfortable with. So practically, if we know that God is asking to take us a particular place, He wants to do something in our lives, we should be encouraged to know that that very God who asks to do that with us, who asks to take us across the lake, that He will take care of us, that He will provide for us, that He will meet every need. And for these disciples, when they got in the boat, when they're sailing across this lake, when everything's going so well, how do they find Jesus? They find Jesus asleep. And when Jesus is asleep, when everything's going well, it didn't matter to them what the situation was. They were content. But then our Bible tells us that this squall came about. And I don't know if you know what a squall is. I had to look up the definition. A squall is, by definition, a brief, sudden, violent windstorm, often accompanied by rain or snow. And as this squall happens, things change for these disciples. No longer are they having their eyes fixed on Jesus. They become focused on the fact that they're in great danger. They become focused on the fact that their boat is taking in a lot of water. And through all of that, how do we find Jesus? We still find Jesus asleep. These guys, they felt like their boat was going to sink. They're probably scooping the water out with their hands. They're finding whatever they can use, buckets, oars, whatever they had on their boat, to get the water out of the boat. And they come to this point in time where they recognize that they are in terrible danger. And as they come to that voice, they approach Jesus in this like panic-struck voice, and they say to Him, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And then Jesus wakes up. And this is how I picture Jesus as He gets up. He looks around. He sees the storm. He sees the boat. He sees even the water in the boat. And He's got like an attitude with these guys, like, "Guys, this isn't a big deal. I'll take care of this." And Scripture uses the word rebuke to describe what Jesus does. And there's other places in Scripture where Jesus uses a rebuke to correct people. And a rebuke, that is simply correcting. That is telling someone the truth. And Jesus tells the truth to the storm. And then the storm obeys. It obeys this message that Jesus gives to it. And the raging seas, all the terrible weather that's happening, it all comes to a complete halt, and then it all stops, and everything returns to normal, and all is calm. And if you were there, if you saw what Jesus had just done, this would have totally just blown you away. This would have been an amazing moment in which you saw the pure power of God displayed as Jesus spoke into creation, and creation obeyed. There's a side lesson, I think, in this passage that we need to pay attention to as well. And here's the side lesson. That all of us are not immune from having disaster happen to us. All of us. We are all eligible for disaster, for storms to happen to our lives. And just because these disciples are the followers of Jesus doesn't mean that they're not going to have terrible things happen to them. So for us, as we recognize that all of us, whether we're a believer or not, we're going to have some trials in life. We're going to have some storms in life. But the key question is Jesus with you to lead you through that storm? When I was thinking about storms, I couldn't help but think about a Charlie Brown comic that I remember very well. In the comic, Charlie Brown, he's on the beach. And as he's on the beach, he's building this just beautiful sandcastle. And he comes to a point in time where his sandcastle is done, and he just steps back to admire his sandcastle. And as he steps back, he's looking at it, he's like, "Wow, this is great, this is beautiful." And then as he's doing this on the edge of the water, this big wave comes in, this rogue wave comes in, and it just destroys his sandcastle, and his sandcastle is just left in a pile of sand. And he looks at what's left, and this is what he says. He says, "I know there's a lesson in this, but I'm not sure what it is." That's how it is for all of us in the midst of all these difficult situations that we find ourselves in. God has a lesson that He wants to show us. And often the purpose of a storm is a number of different reasons. Sometimes the purpose of a storm is to reveal to us God's plan. Sometimes the purpose of a storm is to show us that we've been running from God's will. Sometimes the purpose of a storm is to tell us that, you know what, you've got an attitude problem with God. Sometimes the purpose of a storm is to tell us, you know what, there's some unconfessed sin in your life that needs to be dealt with. And sometimes the purpose of a storm It happens right in the middle of when we actually are walking in God's will. Storms do come. But the key is this. Is Jesus there with you? Is He with you in the midst of that storm? And for these disciples, they had Jesus there with them in the midst of the storm. And after the storm is over, they come out stronger in their faith. They come out stronger in their understanding of who Jesus is and what He could do for them. Following that, there's two great questions that are asked. The first is from Jesus, and He asks this of the disciples. He says, "Where is your faith?" I think that's a great question because when these disciples got into the boat at the beginning of the account, it was easy for them to trust in Jesus. There was no storm. Everything was calm. They get into the boat. But somewhere along the way, things change for them. And as things change, as the storm comes, they kind of lose sight of Jesus. And Jesus, as He asks this question, He's trying to get them to be reminded that their faith was to be in Him. Here's the second question. This is the one that the disciples actually ask one another. They say, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey Him." Our Bible tells us that the disciples, that their attitude changed as they went through all of this. And as they came out of this experience of being in the storm with Jesus, they experienced some fear. They experienced a new understanding of what Jesus is able to do. And that's what God wants to do in all of us regularly. He wants to regularly challenge each of us with new experiences. He wants to regularly have us see that we can depend upon Him, that we can be surprised by what He can do daily. In the midst of all the fears that these disciples had, Jesus calms the storm and He teaches these disciples about faith. And for us, we need to be reminded that in the midst of all the storms that we find ourselves in, that even then, Jesus can find us and He can bring to us peace. And Jesus models peace in this passage. He's asleep. He's at rest. The peak of the storm, there's Jesus. He's at rest. We need to know that there is no storm that is too great for Jesus. And when Jesus is awoken, how does He respond? He doesn't push the panic button like the disciples do. He just gets up and He speaks a word of truth into it and the storm stops. For us today, I hope we recognize that Jesus can speak a word of truth into the storms of our lives. Here's the difference between us and between the storm that happened for these disciples though at sea. That storm at sea, it had no choice. It had to obey Jesus. But you and I, as creation, given that choice, we have the choice. Will we? Will we obey Jesus when Jesus speaks the truth into our lives? Or will we turn our back? Will we ignore the message that He has for us? I hope, I pray that we are a people who listen to the words that Jesus has for us, who are challenged by them, who take serious the message that He has for us. And Jesus here, He's earned the right to speak the truth into our lives. And I feel confident saying that. Go to Luke 23, verses 44 to 46. This is Jesus on the cross. "It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus called out in a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And when He had said this, He breathed His last." You know why Jesus can speak the truth into our lives? You know why He's earned the right? Because Jesus has weathered every imaginable storm possible. He's been treated unfairly by His closest of friends. He's been betrayed by His closest of friends multiple times. He's been insulted by so many around Him. He's an innocent man, given the sentence of a guilty man. He gets what Barabbas, the criminal, deserves. He's beaten. He's tortured. He's put on the cross. And as He's on the cross, He hangs there in pain and agony and torture for you and for I. And as He's on the cross, He has a spear that's placed in His side. And as He's on the cross, there comes a time where He's separated from His Father. And He experiences total separation from the Father. I share that this morning for one reason. Because my job this morning isn't to tell you, hey, get more faith. My job this morning, it's not to tell you to reach down from deep within yourself and just pick you up by your bootstraps. My job this morning isn't to tell you, hey, just work a little harder. My job this morning is to point you to Jesus Christ. And in the midst of the storms of life, there is Jesus. He wants to lead us. He wants to take us through the storms, and He wants to be our guide. We need to know that Jesus is with everything imaginable. There is no storm present, no storm to come, nor storm in the past that Jesus has not endured. So this morning, if you think, if you hear what Jesus has done for you, I hope you're encouraged to know that whatever storm that you're in, that Jesus can take you through that storm as well. I want to encourage you, whatever storm it is, ask Jesus to lead you through it. And if you choose to not allow Jesus to lead you through it, be challenged to think about this. Be challenged to think about all that you're wasting away. Be challenged to think about what He's done on the cross for you, which you're totally ignoring. For these disciples, I said this at the beginning, it was easy for them to get into the boat when the storm was not even there, when all was calm. When the storm is raging, when the seas are just tossing everything around, that was a tough place for them. That was when they really had to trust that Jesus was going to take care of them. And for us today, our God would be so pleased to know that we're willing to get into the boat when the storm is calm, and that we're also willing to get into the boat with Him when the storm is raging. And that's what I trust in. I trust that all of us will see that Jesus wants to be with us when things are calm and when things are rough. Hope you're encouraged by what Jesus has done for you this morning.